This is the weekly message from Restoration Church in Odessa, Texas. If you would like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.restoreodessa.com. There you can also give financially to support the ministry. Now, here's this week's message.
Have you ever been discouraged about something? I would imagine that we would all, if we are honest, would say yes. You know, we can look at things and easily become discouraged. We can have points where, you know, there's some days that it takes everything in me just to worship, just to show up, just to sing. Have you ever had those moments? Now, don't get me wrong. I love to worship. I love to come together. I love to be in church. I mean, obviously, God has called me into the ministry. I love the church. We went to church on vacation. Some people don't do that. Yes, we are those people. And it wasn't just a church service. It was a prayer meeting. I mean, you guys are weird, right? You know. So we love the church. We believe that the church is the future of the world. I mean, the church is what changes things, can change things. And so we believe in the local church. But there are days where, you know, it's just where it's like, well, I don't even want to get out of bed. I enjoy my comfy sheets and my soft pillow. There are times when it doesn't come easy, when it's not easy to sing, when it's not easy to raise your hands, when it's not easy to clap or lift your voice or shout. And today, I would be willing to bet that many of you have felt the same. I would imagine that some of you would feel like you've lost your voice at times, that you've had nothing left to say. You show up hoping that God stays true to his word and shows up when we are together. And he does. Hallelujah. There's no doubt that God has been faithful through it all. I've seen the hand of God upon our family, upon our church, and upon many of you, even going through trials and situations. But I also understand sometimes we don't see it when we're in the middle of it. You don't see God's hand on you when you're in the middle of the thick of things, when you're in the middle of the trial, when you're in the middle of the valley. And if you're like me, when you're going through things, I tend to clam up and try not to let it show. I am that guy. There's only one person in this room, 99% of the time, that can tell that something's wrong, and that's my wife. There are other times, I mean, you would not even know it, but then she would, after the words, you know, she'll come up to me like, what's wrong? Nothing. And I'll try to play it off for a while, but then I eventually fess up and admit it to her. It's just my personality. I don't let it show. Because truly, I believe that God's got it under control. And so it's not just like I'm trying to put on a mask. I just believe that God will handle it. We take it one step at a time, one day at a time, and God will bring us through. But honestly, you know, there's sometimes it will show in my response of worship. You know, when we were singing and lifting up songs, and, you know, there's been times where I'm, of course, you know, here it's a little bit different because I'm playing a keyboard and leading in worship. But, you know, there's times when I've been in services where I'm just like, you know, God, I just, you know, I'm like that guy that stands in the back and just stares at the worship leader. I might sing a little bit. But I love it when God begins to move through the Holy Spirit upon us. And you can hear the response of worship from side to side. Different people responding differently to the presence of God. And I love when, you know, I'm up on here on stage and I can hear you shout or say amen or begin to clap or lift your voice a little louder because what we're singing is resonating with you. There's something that takes place when the volume begins to rise as a family. And we are shouting unto God and believing him for what we're singing about, believing him for his promises, believing him to meet us as we come together. There's that shift that begins to take place. So this morning, the title of my message is Simply Shout. And there's no, like I said, I didn't know what I was going to preach, so there is nothing for the screen. So you're going to have to keep up, all right? We're going to be in the book of Joshua, if you want to turn there. And you might even be able to guess what story we're going to use. The book of Joshua, and the bulk of our time together, we're going to be in Joshua chapter 6. But as we get into it, I kind of want to preface it a little bit. Think of it like this. Your favorite team is hoping for a victory with 5 seconds left, and they're only ahead by 3. You know, we just, the NBA just finished the Western Conference Finals, and two very good teams were playing each other, the Thunder and the Spurs. Now, this was kind of a conflict for me because I like both teams. And so, as I was telling Joyce yesterday, it's to my benefit because either way, my team wins, right? But if you're a Spurs fan, think of it like this. There's 4 seconds left, and SGA from Thunder has the ball. Don't even roll your eyes at me. I saw that. Bunch of haters. No, I'm kidding. But SGA has the ball, and he's driving. I mean, there's 4 seconds left, so he's got to get to the other end of the field, other end of the court. Not a field. The other end of the court quickly, and they're down by 3, so he's got to make a 3-pointer. And then he lobs the ball. It's gonna go in. I mean, it's going to go in. And then Wimby, in his 7'4" self, goes, well, bam! I mean, can you imagine the eruption in the arena when that takes place? You get loud. The Jumbotron is flashing, get loud. It's like, get louder. And the announcer's like, let's go! You know how it goes. You've been to a game. And the momentum has shifted. The game is over. And now they're going to the finals. Hallelujah. But there's just something when, at moments like that, when they're yelling, get loud, get loud. And it's like absolute pandemonium in the arena or the stadium that you're in. And people are shouting and screaming and jumping and hugging and, doing all the things. And it's loud where you can't even hear yourself think. And it's exciting. And then it just all breaks loose when your team wins. There's something what happens when we collectively lift our voices in a shout. Exactly. And so many times, instead of declaring war and shouting unto God with a voice of triumph, like me, many of us clam up and get quiet. Kind of seems backwards, doesn't it? Now, don't worry. I'm not going to try to guilt you or force you into doing something weird. Believe me, I don't want you to be weird. But instead, I want to show you what the Bible says about something that has largely been put to the side. It's time that we rediscover our shout. As I was preparing for this message, I took some time to look up verses in the Bible that just talked about shout or shouting. And let me just tell you, there are some great reasons to shout. One of the most familiar examples is found in the book of Joshua. So let's set it up. After 40 years in the wilderness, God parted the waters of the Jordan River and the people of Israel crossed over into the promised land. Joshua 5:1 tells us when all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and all the Canaanite kings along the coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan before the Israelites until we had crossed over, their hearts melted and they no longer had the courage to face the Israelites. I mean, this is incredible, isn't it? So they had entered into the promised land and God was with the Israelites, but there were still challenges, of course, and enemies to defeat. And the story that we look at today is the first battle the Israelites faced in the promised land. They started at Jericho, the biggest city. The biggest enemy and the biggest battle came first. Now, I would imagine most of us would not have done it that way. We'd find a small little town and defeat it first, right? Just kind of boost our confidence a little bit. It's like I'd go to Utica, Kansas first. Has anybody ever heard of Utica, Kansas? My wife has. Now, if you probably never heard of it, it's in the middle of nowhere, Kansas. But my great-grandmother, who lived to be 104 years old, lived in this small town called Utica, Kansas, with a population of a whopping 104 people. And that was at, you know, a few years ago, census. I couldn't find the current number, so it's probably less than that now, to be honest with you. Now, we could handle that, right? We could take 104 people. Especially most of them were older like my grandmother. So, I mean, really, that's easy, right? And then maybe we could move on to a bigger town, you know, like Waukini. Anybody ever heard of Waukini? No Waukinis. Man, you guys have never been to Kansas, have you? Kidding. Little bigger town. We conquer that one next. And then maybe we'd move on to another town. And finally, we'd get ready to take on the big city, Jericho. But not the Israelites. Full of faith and confidence in God, which, I mean, I'd be full of faith and confidence too if I had just been, you know, seeing God part the waters. And, I mean, we saw some pretty miraculous things, right? Of course, it's been 40 years, but full of faith and confidence in God, they started with the big fight. In Joshua 6, verse 1, it says this. Now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. The people of Jericho were afraid. They knew God was with the Israelites. So they pulled everything inside the city wall and closed the gates. Now the wall was massive with a sheer face made of huge stones. And it was several stories high and completely surrounded the city. And verse 2 tells us, then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. Now imagine Joshua had to think, you know, well, thanks God, I appreciate that. That's wonderful. But can we talk about this big elephant in the room? What about the wall? It's huge. It's greater than It's greater than any wall. You know, it surely doesn't look like it's going to be easy for you to deliver the city into our hands because we can't even get inside. But then God said this to Joshua. Verses 3 through 5, it says this, march around the city once with all your armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, when have all the people give a loud shout, then the wall of the city will collapse and the people will go up, every man straight in. Now, can you imagine walking over to, you know, our whole church is like a fortress, right? Every single wall is a cinder block wall. They're not going anywhere fast. Well, can you imagine walking up to a wall and just going, hey, fall down? Anybody? Do you think it's going to work? Yeah, I don't think so. Now, mind you, the children of Israel had been wandering in the desert for 40 years. And I'm sure they were sick of walking. They know God's power. I'd have been like, you know, if I were them, I'd be like, well, God, if the wall's that big a deal, why don't you just bring it down? You know, rain fire down, do something like that. But God told Joshua to march around the city for 7 days and then shout. Thankfully, Joshua decided to obey God, even though it didn't make sense. Has God ever asked you to do something that doesn't make sense sometimes? Amen. Calling me into ministry, that didn't make sense. Verses 6 through 10 shed some more light on the story. It says, so Joshua called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and have 7 priests carry trumpets in front of it. And he ordered the people, advance, march around the city with the armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord. When Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the Ark of the Lord's covenant followed them. The armed guards marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the Ark. All this time the trumpets were sounding, but Joshua had commanded the people, do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout. So not only did they have to walk, but they weren't even allowed to talk. Now, I can imagine that would be difficult for a few that are in this room this morning. Won't name any names. I'll just look that direction. For me, on the other hand, I would have been just fine, right? Like, I'm good not talking, believe it or not. But the people obeyed Joshua and God. Verse 11 through 13, so Joshua had the ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the people returned to camp and spent the night there. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord. The seven priests carrying the seven trumpets went forward, marching before the ark of the Lord and blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them, and the rear guard followed the ark of the Lord while the trumpets kept sounding. Now, I can only imagine, I'm sure this was quite a sight to behold if you were on the other side of the wall or one of the guards on the wall. These people just circling the city, blowing a trumpet. It's like, what are you doing? I would imagine it would have looked incredibly silly. On the other hand, maybe it was intimidating. I don't know. Because they're wondering, well, what are they doing? The people of Jericho had to wonder, what are they doing? I imagine that. Verse 14, let's move on. So on the second day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did this for 6 days. On the seventh day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except that on that day, they circled the city 7 times. The seventh time around, when the priests sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now, I don't imagine he said it just like that. All right, people, let's shout, okay? Now, I imagine if you've ever seen the movie Braveheart, you know, it was like, freedom! You know, I bet he was that guy. Shout, for the Lord has given us the city. Joshua didn't ask the people, he commanded. Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. And the Israelites said, no, we ain't shouting. We're tired. We're sitting down to rest our feet. No, that's not what they said. Verse 20, it says, when the trumpets sounded, the people shouted. It wasn't about a feeling in that moment. It wasn't about, well, I don't feel like shouting. I don't feel like doing that. No, that's not what it was about. When the trumpets sounded, they shouted. The sound of their shout after being silent for 7 days must have been amazing. Like the eruption of a stadium or arena, like we were talking about moments ago after a big play. Finally, after 6 days, they got to say something. God said to shout. Joshua said to shout, so they shouted, hallelujah. All the bottled up emotion of the week came out in one incredible, long, long shout. And you know, maybe this is my personality, you know, I kind of wonder, what did they shout? Because all it says is that they shouted. It didn't say what they did, what they said. It could have been like a yes, or a victory, or a hallelujah. Who knows? Maybe the trumpets played the notes leading up to it and all the people shouted charge. Whatever it was, wasn't important. But their obedience is what stands out. Now, Joshua's instructions to shout was interesting because quite obviously the walls were still standing when they did this. And here's what something I want you to understand right now in this moment. Their shout came before the victory. Do you catch that? Their shout came before the victory. You don't see a lot of that. People shout after victories, like what we've talked about, after big plays, after the win. But they don't usually shout before something good happens. But the Israelites were different. It didn't look like anything was happening or that God had given them a glimpse of victory. But they shouted anyway because God said to shout. Then the rest of verse 20, it tells us this, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the people gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So every man charged straight in, and they took the city. You know, this was not two bricks fell and the wall and they climbed it. No, it says that the walls came down. This was not some panhandle windstorm, a strong came wind and came blew down a storm. It wasn't some storm that rolls off the Permian Basin and comes through Odessa and brings hail and wind. No, or a haboob with dirt and it covers your car when you just washed it. But it was obvious that God did it. God knocked down the wall when his people shouted in response to his command. Israel gained a testimony to God's miracle working power. Hallelujah. For generations, the story was told just as we are telling it today. Grandfathers would tell their grandchildren, I was there when we defeated Jericho without ever firing a shot. We marched around for 7 days in absolute silence. We weren't allowed to talk. Then finally the trumpets blew and we shouted. And it was the loudest thing I've ever heard. And we shouted and God gave us the victory. Hallelujah. We've talked quite a bit about battles and struggles and storms through our time with us here the last year. And maybe there's still a battle in front of you this morning. Something that seems impossible to overcome, or maybe you need a miracle in your life. And I've got an idea for you tonight, or this morning, excuse me, to shout. Celebrate before the victory. Begin to radically praise God. Don't worry about what other people think. You serve a God that knocks down walls at the sound of a shout. Hallelujah. When you face a big enemy or an overwhelming obstacle, shout. For God has already given you the victory. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. It's an interesting thought, isn't it? A shout of victory before the battle. Why would you even do that? Because you know who wins. After David defeated Goliath in their famous battle, 1 Samuel 17 tells us this in verse 52, then the men of Israel and Judah surged forward with a shout and pursued the Philistines. A great victory against a powerful enemy had been won. The Israelites did what you do at the football games or the baseball games or the basketball games. They shouted in celebration after God had given them the victory. But let me ask you, when should you shout? I've heard one preacher say it this way, shout before the victory in anticipation and shout after the victory in celebration. So if you're facing a battle that looks unwinnable, shout. When you win the battle, shout. Sometimes at the end of a song, you'll hear me say, give God a shout of praise. I don't do it for the applause. I do not do it to fill a dead spot between songs. It's a biblical pattern of worship. So why at times do we lose our shout? Think about that for a moment. Why do we lose our shout? We have the God of the universe that we worship, that we serve, the one who created all things, the one who created us. We have a reason to shout, amen? Now, it could be that there's the fear of what others might think, or we don't think it'll do any good. You know, shouting in and of itself doesn't make you more spiritual. So you're not going to be judged by the sound or the volume of your voice. Remember, the Israelites were quiet for 6 days. But there is a time to shout. The Bible is clear. Shouting is part of our worship. So very quickly, I want to share 6 things that give us reason to shout. And I promise, when I say very quickly, I really do mean very quickly. First of all, we shout to celebrate God's faithfulness. Psalm 33, verses 1 through 4 says, "Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on the 10-stringed lyre. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy." Why? "For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all that he does." Has he been faithful to you? Has God been faithful to you? Shout. If you don't know what to shout, try amen or hallelujah or thank you, Jesus. The words don't matter. You have a reason to shout. The second thing, we don't just shout because of God's faithfulness. We shout to celebrate God's protection. In Psalm 27, which is written when David was on the run from Saul, who was trying to kill him. And it's one that's always good to read in times of trouble. It's super encouraging. Psalm 27, verses 1 through 6, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." Verse 5 says, "For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon the rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord." Hallelujah. Has God protected you in times of trouble? Then shout this morning. We don't shout because of God's faith, just because of God's faithfulness or his protection, but we also shout to acknowledge God's greatness. Psalm 100, verses 1 through 3 tells us this: "To shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is good." Psalm 47, verses 1 through 2 says, "Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. How awesome is the Lord Most High, the great King over all the earth." Do you serve a great and mighty God this morning? Then we have a reason to shout. Hallelujah. We don't shout just because of faithfulness. We don't shout just because of protection. We don't shout just because of greatness. But we shout because God answers prayer. Psalm 20, verses 5 through... Can you tell I like the Psalms? We're doing a whole... Anyway. Psalm 20, verses 5 through 7. "We will shout for joy when you are victorious. And we'll lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He answers him from his holy heaven with the saving power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God." Hallelujah. Have you been praying for the Lord for something specific? Have you been calling out time after time after time? Raise a hallelujah. Lift up your voice and shout. Shout because you trust him. Shout for joy. Shout because the answer is coming. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We also shout because Jesus is alive and Jesus is here. Shouting in worship is not just an Old Testament thing. When Jesus entered Jerusalem riding on a donkey, Matthew 21, verses 8 and 9 tells us this, that a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds went ahead of him, and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Scripture tells us that where two or three are gathered, he is in our midst. He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. We have a reason to shout because Jesus is alive and he is here. Thank you, Jesus. And the last thing is this, is we shout because it's what we're going to do in heaven. Think of it like a warm-up to eternity. If you turn near to the end of your Bible, you'll find the book of Revelation, which gives us a picture of what heaven will look like. And in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 1, it tells us this. After this, I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for true and just are His judgments." I'm certain we can find a great number more examples from Scripture of why we shout or should shout. But can you think of it? The Bible tells us in Revelation also that every tribe, every nation, every tongue will declare that He is Lord. We will lift our voices in praise to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We will lift our voices in a thunderous arena together saying, "He is Lord." Glory and honor and power. We have a reason to shout this morning. And this is only a taste. But there's no doubt that it's time to shout again. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Shout unto God with a voice of praise. Shout when you are in trouble and shout when you have victory. When God has delivered you from that trouble, we have a reason to shout.